It's good to be back with you this morning and appreciate the opportunity again to share God's Word with you. We've had some exciting news in our family since we were last together. Our oldest son and daughter-in-law told us over Thanksgiving that they're expecting, and the child is going to be born on Marla's birthday, June 7th of this year. She hopes. So we're excited about that news and that possibility. But it's good to be back with you, and we thank you. Tonight, this is your homework for tonight. I want you to read the Beatitudes. That's in Matthew chapter 5, those first few verses where we have all the blessed are. So tonight we're going to look at the Beatitudes and delve a little deeper into what they mean. But if you have your Bibles right now, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There's this little verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and within that little verse is a not so little word. William Barclay, the great Scottish scholar of the New Testament, says it's one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, word to translate in the Greek. In most Bibles, you will see it rendered as forbearance, or gentleness, or gentle attitude, or moderation, or kindness, or reasonableness, or graciousness, and so on. I like the way that the Message translation puts it. It says, make it clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. So let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now look at that word forbearance. It may be kindness, it may be gentleness, it may be something different in your translation. But that word forbearance, it means the superiority of mercy over justice. It says, let everyone see that you exhibit the quality of mercy over justice. In short, it means that you love mercy more than justice. On certain occasions, I've been fond of saying that one mistake does not a lifetime make, but we often think it does or act like it does. It's like we can never get away from our past, that one moment of insanity or stupidity. All of us tend to hold grudges, we withhold forgiveness, and we keep bringing up past failures in conversations with those who have hurt us or offended us. You think we were elephants, we never forget. Or someone put it more eloquently, each of us is more than the worst thing that we've ever done. Trouble is, some of us don't believe it. We beat ourselves up. We rehearse our past over and over. Trouble is, others don't believe it. They won't let us forget. They keep bringing up our past. They keep picking at that old wound. Forgive, maybe. Forget, never. This is why we need Philippians 4:5. Let everyone see that you love mercy more than justice. If the truth be told, we are all broken. We are all hurting. We are all fallen and in need of mercy over justice. This is our shared humanity. This is what we have in common. We recognize that all of us are fragile in life. We are all vulnerable. We are all flawed human beings. We are a strange concoction of good and evil, strong and weak, thoughtful and inconsiderate. The human life is a mixture of opposites. We can be kind, and we can be cruel. We can be forgiving, and we can be vindictive. We can be generous, and we can be greedy. We can exhibit intense beauty and horrid ugliness. Limitless compassion and profound anger. We are not all good. We are all not bad either. But we're all fragmented. We're all wounded. And to be sure, some of our pain is self-inflicted. We make poor choices in life, and we have to live with the consequences of those choices. But still, some pain is inflicted upon us. Pain and brokenness is what we have in common as sojourners through life. No one is immune. No one is exempt. We even hear a cry of brokenness, a cry of woundedness echoing from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? The guarantee in life is that we will hurt. What is not guaranteed is how we respond to our pain and hurt. Will it embitter us? Will it ennoble us? You know, we all stand at a crossroad. If we turn one direction, it is more pain, more hurt, more need for revenge. But turn in another direction and we find peace, and we find forgiveness, and we find healing. Walk one path and it turns us into human beings, empathetic and compassionate. Human beings who recognize the brokenness and the woundedness that we have in common. We don't beat up on others. We don't kick people when they're down because we ourselves have been wounded. We ourselves have been hurt. We show mercy. We offer forgiveness. That path is liberating and it is redemptive. We walk another path, as we all so often do, and we've become prisoners of our own bitterness and pain. We're trapped. This sense of having been wrong provokes anger, and anger builds until it darkens all of our relationships and it darkens our heart. We beat up on ourselves, we judge ourselves, we lash out at others, we pick fights, we say unkind things, and we do unkind things. It's self-destructive behavior. And so Paul says, let everyone see that you love mercy more than justice. Forgiveness is a choice, a grace to be disposed, to be bestowed upon another. It's something we do for others. Forgiveness and mercy have social implications. It's something we do for others. The word mercy derives from a word meaning opening one's heart to wretchedness. When we extend mercy and when we extend forgiveness, we are opening ourselves up to understand another person's misery, another person's pain, often pain directed toward us, and saying, I will not let that stand between you and me. It's refusing to act in kind. I will not return blow for blow or hurt for hurt. I'm looking beyond the pain and seeing a person of worth, a person of value, a person who needs mercy more than justice. Let everyone see. Let everyone see that you love mercy more than justice. But forgiveness is not only a gift that we bestow upon others. It is also a gift that we bestow upon ourselves. You see, forgiveness allows us to keep our hearts open and soft. To not forgive is to harden the heart and close the door to relationships and reconciliation. And did not Paul say that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people together? Forgiveness puts us on the path to healing. Forgiveness puts us on the path to restoration. Forgiveness makes us whole again and allows us to let go of the pain, the resentment, the bitterness. Forgiveness is a choice. To forgive is to be human, to be what God intended each and every one of us to be. And when we forgive, we connect with God in our humanity. You see, stinginess with mercy and grace, stinginess with forgiveness, means that part of us is not growing, and that part that may not be growing is our love and our compassion for others. Let everyone see that you love mercy more than justice. Well, Brother Rick, how do we do it? It's easier said than done, I'll give you that. I'm reminded of a story about a man named Brian. He was asked to speak at a regional church meeting about the case of Walter, a falsely convicted and jailed individual. A handful of people in the African-American community were muted about their support for Walter, not because they thought he was guilty, but because he'd had an affair and he wasn't active in the life of the church. And Brian, speaking at the church meeting, reminded them of the woman accused of adultery and brought to Jesus. Jesus told the accusers who wished to stone her to death, "Let him who without sin cast the first stone." And as you know, the crowd shamefully dropped their rocks and shuffled off. Then Brian went on to say, "But today, our self-righteousness, our fear, and our anger have caused even the Christians to hurl stones at people who fall down. Even when we know we should forgive and show compassion. I told the congregation," he said, "that we simply can't watch that happen. I told the congregation that we have to be stone catchers." We have to be stone catchers. We all must become stone catchers. We must love forgiveness more than judgment, restoration more than revenge. One failure does not a lifetime make. We are more than the worst thing we've ever done. Let people see that you love mercy more than justice. How do we do it? Well, I suppose I should tell you it will hurt to catch all those stones people throw. It won't be easy. No, stone catchers, what you're getting into is hard and often unappreciated. People will criticize our compassion, calling us soft on sin. People will be mad at us because we haven't taken their sides. And there will be times, many occasions, when we will still want to chuck rocks ourselves. But in those times, we must resist that temptation and remember our calling. We must be about mercy and forgiveness. Recall the words of the prophet Micah. When he said, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you and of me? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." To love mercy. Remember, mercy is most empowering. It's liberating and transformative when it's directed at the undeserving. The people who haven't earned it, who haven't even sought it, are the most meaningful recipients of our compassion and mercy and forgiveness. Also know that God wants us to love mercy and to be merciful people. You remember in the Beatitudes, the words of Jesus, and we'll look again at this tonight. Blessed are who? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are congratulations to that individual who is merciful. Jesus is recounting for us the characteristics, the distinguishing marks of a Christian, and one of those marks is mercy. We are merciful people. Then right on the heels of that verse follows, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The extension of mercy opens us up to see and feel the presence of God. An unforgiving heart is an impure heart, a closed off and blinded heart. Let everyone see that you love mercy more than justice. Come back to how the Message translated Philippians 4:5. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. And finally, I would say to you that Christ is our guide. It is from Jesus that we take our cues for living and for relationships. Francis tells this story of a fellow priest coming to him wanting to talk. The clergyman explained they had many people come to him to confess, people from all walks of life. Then he got to the crux of the matter when he said, "I forgive a lot, and sometimes I have my doubts. I wonder if I have forgiven too much." Well, at that point, the future pontiff asked what he did when he had those doubts. And this is what the priest said. He said, "I go to our chapel and I stand in front of the tabernacle and I say to Jesus, 'Lord, Lord, forgive me if I have forgiven too much, but you're the one who gave me the bad example.'" If you listen closely, you can hear the words echo across the ages. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." No, it was not a bad example that Jesus gave, but a merciful, compassionate, redemptive example. We take our lead in relationships and life from Jesus. Thomas Merton, the Catholic mystic, got it right when he said, "We're all bodies of broken bones." He's right. We're all broken by something or someone. We have all been hurt and have hurt others, even if the pain is not equivalent. It is our shared woundedness that connects us and makes us human. We can embrace what we have in common and become more compassionate people, more merciful people, more forgiving people. Or we can forswear compassion and mercy, and as a result, fall deeper into darkness, deeper into our anger and fear, deeper into our inhumanity to one another. We have a choice. But here is our redemption and hope. Let everyone see. Let everyone see, Paul said, that you love mercy more than justice. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful and thankful that you have treated us not as we deserve, but as we need. You have shown us mercy rather than judgment. You have shown us grace rather than condemnation. While we were yet sinners, your Son died for the ungodly. Father, if there's someone here this morning in need of grace and in need of mercy and in need of forgiveness, we ask that you would melt their hearts and they would open their lives to what blessing you would want to bestow upon them. And if somebody here today, Father, whose heart is hardened and that needs to be softened, to be more Christ-like, we ask that you would soften that heart. Use this moment, Father, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen.